Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe at RT.ie. It's hard to believe after one of the most joyous and biggest pride parades ever in this country. It was the biggest ever, actually. Full stop last Saturday. Most wonderful outpourings of joy and great fervour and camaraderie and community and support. And well-behaved as well, which is the other message we got. That there's still a propensity of homophobic attacks coming into us. Now, Robert, good afternoon, Robert.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for having me on your show.
And what's happened in your situation, Robert?
Joe, I've had a terrible time here living in Dublin. I moved into my dream apartment in 2009, and it became very apparent that I had the neighbour from hell. She was a lovely person, the woman that was doing it, that's done it to me. She was started making homophobic attacks verbally, but she was lovely starting off, and for all out of nowhere, she started on me for no reason, bullying me and harassing me and stalking me, putting glass in my mat in the dark. And I had to get a camera over my door, and not just that, shouting at me when I was going down the road to the shops, out of the car, psychopath, you weirdo. And then when I'd meet her, we live in the same block. I'd come out my door, Joe, and it was terrible carry on. I was living in fear of I couldn't even go out to the door. I was a prisoner in my own home. She'd be calling me, get in that door, you weirdo, you queer. We don't want gays around here. Burn all gays. We don't want you around here. No one likes you around here.
Yeah, but Robert, you say initially she was very pleasant. What changed?
I don't know, Joe. This is what I can't understand. It something triggered her off on her. I think that she found out I was gay.
That's what made a difference to her.
I think so.
Now obviously, she's the one that's using those slurs against you awful language.
Yeah. And it became very, gets in on you, because she'd make me laughing about it then, getting pleasure out of it, going in and out. And she's a professional woman. This woman works, and I work myself in a very secure, full-time job. I mean, she has made me my life hell over the last 10 years living here. I became, she's definitely the neighbour from hell, putting glass in my mat and making me feel like a prisoner in my own home.
And can you go to the authorities, to the management company, to the council, to the Gardaí?
To be honest with you, Joe, I did all the right things that everyone else would do, and the management company didn't want to know. The neighbours around here in this block didn't care. They knew about her, and she's known for her psychiatric problem. She's been in problems down in this area, this lovely area in Dublin, and a lovely place to live, and she ruined it for me. And she has known for this behaviour, and then she's zoned in on me and started on me for no reason. And she got seven Garda warnings and two solicitor's warnings. And I don't understand it, because I'm trying to live here in harmony and live a private, my own life. I can't even go outside my door. Their car is outside the door now at the moment, and I can't go out to the shop. I have to watch where I have to go. I'm afraid to go outside the door in case she says something to me. Now, it's got better since last year, since she got the second solicitor's letter, and she's got toned down an awful lot, because all she does now is whistle. She whistles going in and out, into her communal door with her, and then she'd beep going in and out all the time to let her know, let me know she's leaving and coming back. And I have had nothing to do with her at all, and I can't, because she made my life hell.
Yeah,
and I
get sounds anxious. Like that.
I get very anxious if she comes towards me, and I get all, I freeze. My mental health has suffered, because I've lost weight from it, and I have to stay in all day. I used to stay in all day when it was very bad, on my day off work. I used to go out at 7 o'clock in the morning to get my shopping and get back for 9 o'clock before she left. She was doing everything she wanted on her holidays. She's on her school holidays for 2 months, and she was going out and enjoying talking to people and going out and walking her lovely little dog and having a great time outside. But love to see me locked in my apartment. You couldn't even open my window on a lovely warm day.
And you mentioned in your communication that she sings outside your window.
She used to sing about 2 years ago. That stopped as well.
And what would she sing?
YMCA, YMCA. The window be open. She didn't like the window open, Joe. This is the honest truth, Joe. This is what I put up with. And I had to close the window then, because she was really getting into my mind, trying to drive me out. She said, I'm not moving out here. You have to get out of here. You're gay. We don't want gays around here.
Okay, stay there, Robert. But it's Martin has contacted us as well. Martin, okay, good to say there. 51551 joe@rt.ie. Martin, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Good to hear from you, Martin, because you contacted us recently after Matthew's interview, and Matthew was made to leave the Gardaí after his probationary period of 2 years, by the way. The day before he was due to be fully fledged as a Garda, he was promptly and abruptly told to leave. He believes it's because they discovered at that time he was gay. You say that discussion with Martin brought back difficult memories for you, Martin, because you were a member of the Garda Síochána. You are gay, and did that became known in the job? Did it, Martin?
Well, obviously it must have, because I had a lot of homophobic comments made to me and actions that I attributed to homophobic intentions, you know. And
Robert made the point there that the neighbour that's tormenting him would do stupid things like sing YMCA and call him names. Would you have been subject to that type of, what would you call it, anonymous abuse and slagging that had a very sharp edge to it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a drip effect almost on a daily basis. Small little things that by themselves wouldn't be considered mm-hmm. very significant, but over a period of years, it just wears you down and demoralizes you. And
but what something happen every day, Martin? Would there be some dig at you every day about your sexuality?
You'd be lucky to get through 2 or 3 days without something happening. And, it was small things like, I was in an office, I was in the canteen one time, and a female guard came down saying, Martin said we could all go for a fag. Mm-hmm. And, the connotation there was obvious. And, there was another member who was supposed to be gay, and I used to get messages from him. Messages would be left for him to contact me when I had no contact with him. And, small things like people at briefings and stuff saying they wanted to be debriefed and...
Okay, all that
nice comments like that.
Innuendo, that sexual innuendo stuff.
Yeah.
And gay porn videos left in your locker?
Well, it wasn't exactly left in my locker. It was there was a video player in the public office, and a porn video was left there, and it was there for a few weeks. I don't know who left there, but eventually I came in one day and somebody had written on a property of Martin.
And when these remarks and jokes, they thought they were being made about your sexuality, did anyone ever check the other guards and say, listen, hang on a minute, what is all this? You obviously felt very vulnerable being the victim, but did anyone else intervene on your behalf?
No. It was a constant struggle to... Obviously, they were trying to provoke me into doing something that I could be reprimanded myself for, like overreacting or whatever. So it was a constant struggle just to stay cool and do my job and forget about it.
Now, Matthew vividly told us about those days leading up to the end of his probation, which is over 2 years, a long, long time to be in the guards, knowing that they could turf you out, which they did in his case without any buy or leave or any reason. Were you nervous leading up to the end of your probationary period?
I was, yes. I had very similar fears to Matthew in relation to what would happen and what potentially could happen. And I remember that time we had a locker room that, and part of the locker room was taken up with an office, and I used to be polishing my shoes and cleaning my cap and stuff, and and I remember a sergeant staying there, once a person saying to the sergeant, he's great for polishing and stuff, he's the creator, but he won't last. And that was when I was a recruit. And so it made me worry, and the nightmare scenario was what happened to Matthew. Yeah. And to hear that it actually did happen to somebody was very disturbing.
And even though we put it to the Garda press office in the middle of June and again this week about Matthew's case because he's looking for an apology, and the Garda press office haven't responded as of yet. Was, and Matthew, remember, said it was for him, was being a Garda your dream job, Martin?
Yes, ever since I was about 6 or 7, I just got it into my head I wanted to be a Garda, and everything that followed from that was leading to being a member of the Gardaí. And it was quite challenging at the time in Recession Ireland back in the 80s to get a job in the Gardaí. There was, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 applications when I joined. And even when you did get in, it was quite a tough regime in Templemore to get through.
Yeah.
So anything negative at all could have you out.
And what, because I asked Matthew this as well, what did you think now that it's happened and we got an enormous amount of publicity? The Chief Constable of Northern Ireland was there, George Hamilton, the Garda Commissioner Drew Harris was there, former colleagues, the Taoiseach was there, there was a VIP viewing stand even in O'Connor Street for the Pride Parade. What did you think of the Garda involvement as an institution, not as individuals, but as an institutional supporter of the Gay Pride Parade, the Pride Parade?
Well, obviously, it's welcomed and nice to see, but if it doesn't translate to the way they're being treated on the ground and where, the way Matthew is being treated, you know, the stonewalling and non-responding and that kind of thing. It's just kind of window dressing, really. I think there's a disconnect between those kind of events and what happens on the ground, because that was my experience anyway.
But from what you say, in your time in the Gardaí, as you say, over the last, 20 years or so, you were there from 83 to 2013, which is relatively... But from what you say, and the picture you paint, Martin, and it's corroborated by Matthew, obviously, the Gardaí, there were some brutally homophobic people in the Gardaí.
Yes, but well, I must also add now that the vast majority of the Gardaí I worked with were decent, honest, good people that never gave me any bother. It was just a small minority that took it on themselves to make your life a misery, and there was no sanction or no systems in check to reprimand them for doing that.
And after you were 31 years or so in the force, when you retired in 2013, what was that like for you, the life afterwards, so to speak?
Well, I mean, it was the hardest thing I ever did, to send in the notice of intention to retire documents. It was my dream job, and I felt I was abandoning my dream before I had 6 years left.
Okay.
And
And why did you retire early?
Because my health was suffering.
Okay.
Badly. I was suffering from depression, and I felt that if I continued, that would only get worse, and because of that, then my work was starting to suffer as well. So I had a lot of pride in doing a good job. And if I felt I wasn't able to do a good job, the best thing to do was to just leave.
And do you believe your depression was propelled by the harassment you were getting because of your sexuality?
Yes, I mean, since I left, my mental health has gone back to normal.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And physically, I feel like I'm 30 again, even though I'm 60 now.
Great.
And I didn't realise what a burden it was working there until I actually left.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well said, well said. So then the obvious question, Martin, do you regret that you did 31 years?
No, still have very high regard for the Gardaí and the job they do. I think they do wonderful work up and down the country. They don't get half enough thanks for. And, you know, I really do appreciate the Gardaí as an organisation as well, even though on this particular issue they drag their feet. But overall, I still have very positive feelings about the Garda Síochána.
And it's worth remembering that Magella Moynihan, in that documentary, she said, she related a story where a superior said to her, listen, you're not going anywhere in this organisation because of your history. Wasn't that the phrase that she... in the eyes of the Garda hierarchy and rules at the time, she brought the organisation to disrepute by having a baby, believe it or not. What were your advancement prospects like, Martin?
Well, I was very ambitious. I worked in the private sector for 5 years before I joined, and I got promoted in the three jobs I had previously. And so I was anxious to get promoted to sergeant, and I felt... you know, that if I made a complaint about any bullying or anything like that, it would just scupper any promotion prospects. So that's why I didn't. And I just feel that a lot of talent, not just from me, but from other people, has been squandered by, not dealing with this issue properly. And, you know, people have so much potential that is not realised.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm sure Matthew was in that category as well.
Yeah, well, he went through his trials and tribulations as well, as indeed did Magella. Martin, and as you say, you suffer from depression as well, brought on by that homophobia, even though obviously it wasn't the majority of your colleagues in the Garda. Martin, I wish you well. Thanks for telling us that story. You prompted us again to ring the Garda press office about Matthew's case and the file and why he was dismissed the day before his probationary period ended, after they discovered he was gay. He links the two of them strategically. Martin, thanks indeed. And Robert, also, thank you both. 51551 Joe at rte.ie.